turn to Luke chapter 2, if you would, and we'll catch a part of this. We've been in Luke chapter 2 for a few times now, and we're going to be, Wednesday night we'll be there, and next Sunday we'll be there also, but at different points. But this account here, and it's not a story, it's an account that the Holy Spirit has written down for us, given to men, so that we could read it, so that we could hear it, so that we could understand it, so that we could be in that place where we would just rejoice in what the Lord has given us. But it says right in verse 1 of chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So the Lord moving in king's hearts just to do things so that he could get his people in the right places. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? Sometimes we get upset with the Lord because he moves things in our lives and changes things when all the time he's trying to get us in the right place so that we could hear him better, so that we could understand what's going on. So it says in verse 3, and they all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So they're going about 100 miles. And I don't know about you, but it takes a little bit longer than 60 miles an hour on a donkey. They don't go there fast. So he had a few days of traveling over rough terrain to get there with Mary, who it says was great with child. That means she was ready. So it was while they were there that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I betcha. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do something with that word. It isn't just one or two. It isn't just those that are going to be saved. It's to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them, as it was told unto them by the angel, by the messenger from God that was sent to them. They listened to the word that was spoken to them, and they paid attention to it. They paid heed to it. They listened to it. It went deep into their hearts, and they went and told others about it. So we see the salvation message. We see the witnessing that comes about as a result of salvation. We see all those things taking place here in this account, and it is just such a beautiful account. It's just a wonder to me that the Lord would send his only son to save us, and send him as a baby, completely dependent on people like you and I. Isn't that amazing? That he would trust us with his only begotten son. Oh, and doesn't he do the same thing now? He trusts us with his only begotten son. That we would listen, that we would hear, that we would understand what this account means, what his coming to earth meant for us. He really came to die. He was born in a cradle, came to the cross. Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. all these things that he is to us, all these different ways that he ministers to us. We really need to pay attention in the days that we're in, because he's coming soon. And he loves you and I. He's in that place now where he has a place for us in the kingdom, if we would only accept what he has for us. But I want to focus this morning just on one spot in verse 7. And it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And we see the things that go on here. Joseph, a new dad. We don't know how old he is. Some think he was a younger man, maybe 19. Mary, of course, probably 14 to 16, somewhere in that range. But in that place where we have this young couple and they're having their first baby and there's no room. They come to Jerusalem. It's overflowing with people because of the Caesar Augustus putting forth this decree that they have to be taxed. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? New taxes are nothing new to us. but in that place where they had to go, they had to register, they had to pay their dues that were there. But as they came, God had something for them. So even when you're paying your taxes, God has a plan for you. Don't discount it. Just do it. Do it faithfully. But look for God in the midst of it, because he wants to speak to you. But there's no room. I don't know about if you remember the first time you had kids, but when mama said, "It's time," panic attacks are not new to people who are having their first baby. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to get there. Please don't let this baby come in the car halfway to the hospital, because I have no clue what to do. Just get me to the hospital. And you take off, hopefully with your wife in the car, that you don't forget her on the way. But you're in that place. There's no room. Joseph banging on doors, looking for a place to stay, and nobody has a place for him. And one person says, "Well, we have a stable." Oh, can you imagine? God, not born in a palace, not born in royalty with royal clothes and royal blankets, but in a manger with the sheep, the donkeys, whatever was in there, because man had no room for him. And folks, sometimes we're in that same place, that we have no room for Jesus. We have no room for him in our day-to-day routines. We have no room for him in our financial difficulties. We have no room for him in our dysfunctional family. We have no room for him in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We have no room for him in our jobs. Where is it in our lives that we have no room for Jesus, when he should be at the center of attention, where he should be at the center and in the best place? We have no room for him, and we relegate him to a manger instead of the best place. But we look in Jesus, the Lord God being so faithful, as Jesus is born, he calls people to him. And he calls the lowliest of people, the ones that were despised, the ones that were rejected, the shepherds. They were probably the ones that couldn't get a job anywhere else because they were dysfunctional. Let's face it, we're all dysfunctional. We just need straightening out, and God wants to do that for us and help us with it. And that's what we need to let them do. But the shepherds, probably those jobs that didn't pay much. There wasn't showers out in the fields. There wasn't anything going on but sheep and them, loners. And yet God calls them, the lowliest of men, to the lowliest of places, to meet the king of the world. Can you imagine? He didn't call Herod, didn't call the high priest, Annas or Caiaphas. He called the shepherds, because nobody knew he was coming. The wise men came later on, probably, but by all accounts, the priests and those that were in authority in the church at the time, in the synagogues, knew the scriptures that said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but nobody came. And so he called people to him, because there was no room in the people's hearts. In the religious people's hearts, in the hearts of the kings that were in authority in the day, they had no room for him. And that was like you and I before we got saved. Before Jesus interrupted our lives and came in and said, "Do you need a Savior? I'm here. I've come. and I've come to seek and to save those that were lost. And thank goodness that we realized one day because of his moving in our hearts that we were lost and that we needed direction. And we still need direction every day, don't we? You've never been this old before. You need direction on how to get through this day. You've never been this forgetful in your life. Thank you. But as soon as you get out the door, you're going to forget which way to go. We are something else, aren't we? We need direction every single day. And God has come to give us that direction and to give us that focus, to give us that hope. We've never had cancer before. We've never had strokes before. We've never been in a place where we've been so weak before. And yet God has come to give us direction in it, to help us, to encourage us. It doesn't mean he's going to take those things away, but he wants to help us while we're in those places, to get through those times. That's how much God loves you, because we don't love each other that much. We'll put each other in places where we don't have to deal with you. We'll put each other in places where we don't have to focus on you, where we can get our own things done and taken care of, and yet Jesus wants to be that close to you that he takes care of every single detail for your life. And that is just so wonderful that he wants to do that for us. No room. Just amazing. You don't have to hold your place here because we're not coming back, but go to the Gospel of John because that's where we're going to finish up here this morning because there's a difference. There's a contrast going on between where we are in Luke, that there's no room in the inn, but in the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 11, there is room for him. And what a difference we're going to see, this contrast between those that have no room for him and those that do have room for him. Say, oh, what a difference this is. In John chapter 11, we see this group of people. It says in verse 1 of chapter 11, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. You folks know these people, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. We know them. We know what happens with Lazarus. And if you don't, that's all right. Read the story. It's a great account. And he'll reveal to you the things that he has in it. But it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So this family that was there, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, it says that it was that Mary which anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. They were well-to-do. They were fairly rich. They had a big home. They had the disciples and Jesus stay there. They had to have a bigger place. It wasn't a ranch house. You get 12 guys that are coming that love to eat. You don't just sit there with a ranch. You've got a bigger house. You've got a bigger place for them. So they were fairly well off. But Mary humbled herself, realized who Jesus was, wiped his feet with her hair after she anointed him. And Jesus said that she anointed me for my burial. She knew what was coming. She was that close to Jesus. She was that close to the account of things that were going on, that close in walking with the Lord and walking with the Holy Spirit to realize that Jesus was going to die. And she anointed him for his burial. Whoa. And it's interesting as you go to the crucifixion in the Gospels that you don't see Mary and Martha and Lazarus there. You go, huh, they already knew what was going to happen. What a difference between no room for Jesus and having a room for Jesus where you can understand why Jesus came, what he was going to do, what was going to happen with him, and to have your heart ready and prepared for the things that were going to go on. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus had come to that place. That is just an amazing thing to me, that most of the world does not have room for Jesus. They have room for a Christmas tree. It's amazing. There's a commercial on for Target. And Santa is on the plane. Sorry. This is not scriptural. You might have noticed that right away. Santa's on the plane. The people have forgotten to get a gift for one of their relatives. And he's on the plane. He's got a tree sitting in the seat next to him. But he's representing Target. And he tells him, he says, well, your nephew there, you can still get a gift from Target and get it delivered to him for Christmas. And it's okay. All you have to do is text him from the plane and they'll get it to him. Really? in that place where we think that somebody is all-knowing about things, when really there's only one that's all-knowing, and that's Jesus. We are not it. Santa is not it. Jesus is. But the closer we are to him, the more room we make for him, the more we know about him. The shepherds didn't know about him. The angels told him, said, hey, here we are. You need to go to Bethlehem and see this baby, because the religious people aren't going to go. The royalty of the nation isn't going to go, but Jesus wants you there, the poor in spirit. You need to come to Jesus. And the message is still the same. We need to come to Jesus, because without him, we can't do anything. But with him, all things are possible. You can get through the time that you're in this life only with the help of Jesus. You're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to make it in your own strength. You're going to have to rely on the strength of your Savior, who's going to deliver you from all these things that are around you. Here's Mary and Martha. Lazarus, says that Lazarus was sick. In verse 3 says, therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. And that is there for a reason, because they were going to doubt a little bit, and he was going to tell them, I love you anyway. Folks, sometimes we get in that place where the Lord doesn't answer our prayers right away, and we think that he doesn't love us anymore. And the world is sitting there saying, you're in a cult. Because you think that Jesus is real. You've never seen him. You don't know him just because you haven't seen him. But you know what? We haven't seen him, but we do know him. We've handled the word of life, it tells us in the epistle of 1 John. We've handled the word of life. We know who he is. If you're born again of God's Spirit, if you're saved by the Holy Spirit, in that place of realizing that you're a sinner in need of salvation and Jesus is your Savior, then you're in that place, you know who Jesus is. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of who he is. And we realize the things that are happening around us are things that are there for a reason, for a purpose, for our own hearts. And sometimes those things hurt. These girls are going to lose their brother that they love. But that doesn't mean that Jesus did not love them. Remember, it says Jesus loved them. He mentioned them by name, just like he mentions you by name. He came to seek and to save those that were lost, and we were all lost. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and Jesus came and saved us. Jesus loves you. Don't forget that, folks. I know it's the time of year where we're all thinking that God is love and all those wonderful things and all the mushy stuff, and the Hallmark Channel goes crazy with all the movies and everybody falls in love and lives happily ever after. And we just go, oh boy, because love is hard sometimes, isn't it? But love is good, because it's his love that works in and through us to bring about a real love. We don't know what real love is until you meet Jesus, and then you know what real love is. He has a real love for these people, just like he has a real love for you and I. And don't forget this Christmas season that he came to die. And remember that as you go through your hard times, because he's going to allow those there not to hurt you, but just to show you his love in the midst of those things. And that's what we need to remember. Things are not going to get easier for us. The older we get, the harder it's going to be for us. You know how it is. You get down on the floor and you cannot get back up until you find a couch or a chair. And then you roll over, you put arms on that couch and chair, and you kind of push yourself up a little bit, and you get partway up, and then you have to take a nap before you get the rest of the way up. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. But he's still with you. He still loves you. Instead of making no room for him at this time of life, make every kind of room for him that you can. Every day, make room for him in your life. Because there's benefits to having Jesus in your life rather than not knowing him and not making room for him. The world didn't make room for Jesus when he came. even though they had read the accounts, they knew he was coming, they knew where it was going to be. There was over 300 prophecies of Jesus' first coming, and yet nobody put them together. Jesus had to invite people to come to him. Instead of them coming to him on their own, nobody came. He had to have the angels announce it to him. That's just amazing to me. But that was you and I, wasn't it? I wouldn't have come to Jesus unless he had interrupted my life and said, here's an invitation, you want to come? I would have never gone. But when we do know him, he doesn't have to invite us. We invite him instead. Look at Mary and Lazarus. Mary and Martha invite Jesus to come because there's a sickness. That's for you and I to realize and to remember that in time of sicknesses, in time of trouble, in time of hurt, in time of distress, we need to call on Jesus. We don't wait for the angels to announce to us, hey, Jesus could help you if you really want. We need to make room for him so that we invite him that he doesn't invite us. Oh, there's a benefit in knowing him. They knew about the resurrection. We see it later on in this chapter. We don't have time for the whole chapter and into chapter 12. Well, we could, but you'd be here till about 6 o'clock tonight, so we don't want to do that to you. There's food out there besides, so we've got to do that. But here we are in this place of realizing, God, sometimes I don't invite you into my life. Sometimes I don't ask for your help. I think I can do it on my own. I think that I'm strong enough. And then we find out how really weak we are. Lord, I have no strength of my own. It's only in your strength that I can do anything. But Jesus loved them, and they invite him in. Instead of Jesus inviting the shepherds who didn't know him, and that's another beautiful thing, he invites those who don't know him to come, but he expects those who do know him to invite him to come. Because he's not going to go against your will. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then he wants you to invite him to come into the issue, into the problem, into the circumstance that you're in right now. Because he's not going to go against your will. If you don't want Jesus in that place where you're inviting him into the room, then he's not going to come. Because he's not going to go against your will. He wants you, and he wants to be in that circumstance with you because he's got the right direction. He's got the right help for you, but he's not going to force you to do it. That is so wonderful. I am very quick to tell Kath everything she needs to know about everything, even if she doesn't want to hear it. Even if she already has a plan of doing things, I can tell her, well, if I was you, I'd do it this way. Because this is a better way than your way. Oh. We're in that place, aren't we? Where we're still at the forefront of our own lives. Instead of having Jesus at the forefront. Lord, come into every circumstance as I go through my day with you, Lord. Help me with it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he says to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. And his disciples said, Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone you. And you're going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. That he is the light of the world. Oh, thank you, Lord, for enlightening our darkness, for being in that place where you lighten the darkness that we're in and show us that we need you in it. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said it unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And his disciples said, well, if he's sick and he's sleeping, he's doing well. That's what we do when we're sick, right? We sleep, because there's healing in that. There's a healing that comes through that. Of course, some of you like to sleep here. I would be too if I wasn't up here. But if I fell asleep, you'd really be in trouble, because then nothing would get done. But he said, howbeit Jesus spoke to them of his death, but they thought that he had spoken to them of taking a rest and sleep. And Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. What is he doing? He's telling them the truth about the situation. He tried to let them know. And what is he doing with his disciples? He's teaching them. he's going to go and take care of Lazarus. He's going to go and take care of Mary and Martha, but he's also taking care of the disciples. He has such a focus. When I have a purpose in doing something, there could be 20 people looking for information, and I don't have time for them because I've got one focus. He can multitask better than I can ever think. It's just an amazing thing that he takes care of every person that's involved in the whole situation. And not only is he ministering to them, he's going to minister to the whole town, because the whole town knows that Lazarus died, because they've been weeping and wailing for days, and he's been in the tomb. And even Lazarus' sister Martha says, "Lord, don't bring him out. He stinks." Isn't that something? That Jesus knows what he's going to do, and he's able to take care of everybody along the way and minister to each and every one of them. Even on the cross, he ministered to the two thieves that were there. He ministered to both of them. One of them didn't want him. He had no room for him in his crucifixion. The other one had room for him in his crucifixion, and he got saved, and he went to heaven. Oof. Betcha the other thief is regretting that decision every day since then. He's in torment. But there's a benefit of knowing Jesus in your circumstances and having Jesus at the forefront of what's going on in your life, of realizing that this account, this story, this revelation to us is meant for us to teach us a lesson, that being close to Jesus brings benefit to us. It can bring us to a place where we can invite him in to the circumstance, that he doesn't have to wait until we're in a poor position that he has to invite us. That we could love him, that we could have understanding for the times that we're in. We could have understanding for the things that are going on. We could have wisdom on how to go through them. It's better to have Jesus there than to wait for that invitation. And I'm thankful that he saved us. I'm thankful that he's given us an opportunity to come and remember all that he's done. This is just sweet. And right now, all of you are in difficult situations, one place or another, with kids, with grandkids, with your own health, with your own financial situations, with all the things that are going on. We need Jesus. I don't think there's one of us, and I'd probably ask, and if somebody didn't raise their hand, you're probably lying. If you didn't have an issue where you needed Jesus in your life, if somebody raised their hand, you don't belong here. Because we are sinners in need of salvation. We are sinners in need of Jesus. We are people who need Jesus to lead us through, because we've never been here before. And we need help. And the help that he gives us sometimes isn't the help that we need. Look at what he did with Lazarus. He let him pass because he had a better plan. We would think, well, there can't be a better plan. If I pass, there is no plan. Not with Jesus. He brought life to a situation that they never thought was ever going to take place. I'm sure Lazarus wasn't sitting there going, well, I think I'm going to die today. That wasn't his plan. Well, maybe I'll just get better. Maybe I'll get healed. Maybe I'll come to life. But Jesus had a better plan, and I'm sure Lazarus didn't understand it, but he got taught. Mary and Martha were taught. You and I can be taught if we let the Holy Spirit teach us. And so today the invitation is not to come to salvation so much as to wake up to have Jesus in our life in every situation that we're in. You guys are going to face things in the next few days that you probably never thought were going to come. We don't know, do we? But what we do know is that there's a God who can lead us through it. There's a God who can lead us to it. He even led Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to that place where this would happen. He led them to it, and yet he delivered them from it, just like he wants to deliver you. Don't discount because something has already passed that God can't bring life to it. He can. Remember, you were already dead in trespasses and sins, and he brought life to you. This resurrection of Lazarus is just a wonderful picture of what he can do. He can bring somebody from death to life. But then the question is, do you want life or do you want to die? Oh, and I know each and every one of us would say, well, I'm not dumb. I want life. Well, there's only one place you're going to have life, and that's in Jesus. And he gives us a Christmas account just to teach us. This is just wonderful. Lord, it isn't that I don't want you in my life. I have room for you in my life. Lord, am I willing to cry out to you and call out to you and have you come into my life and bring that life to me? We get so busy during this time of year. There's so many things going on. But it's sweet, too, because we realize I have no strength for this. I just can't keep going anymore. Shopping is wonderful. And then there's gift cards. Gift cards are wonderful. It takes away all that pressure. It takes away all that stuff. You don't have to go out to 14 stores to find the right thing. You can just find one store, get it all. You're all set. We get so busy and we get so distracted. But do we invite Jesus in? And so that's my cry for you guys. That's my cry for myself this morning, that we would make room. We go through the account and we see that Mary and Martha see Jesus. He comes. He's teaching the disciples. Remember, they come all the way to Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were. They come to that place. He's already told them that he's died, but he's going to do something with them. And it says down in verse 19, "And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother." You know what? It tells us in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, that he's the God of all comfort. They came to comfort him, to comfort the sisters, but the comfort that they can give wasn't the comfort they needed. They needed the comfort of Jesus. Because Jesus comes afterwards, and they're still upset. They're still wondering about things. So the comfort they needed wasn't the comfort of the world. You don't need the comfort of jingle bells and Christmas trees. You need the comfort of Jesus during the season. That's the comfort we need. When he came, he gave them real comfort. And he even brought life to them. Because they had something that they didn't understand, that they still needed to understand, that Jesus had resurrection power. And that he had it not only for Lazarus, but for them and for himself, that he was going to rise from the dead. And it tells us in Scripture that the same power, the same strength, the same anointing that came upon Jesus and rose him from the dead, we have that same power in us to raise us from the dead for those that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead is going to rise us one day, whether in the rapture or whether if we pass in this life before the rapture. That resurrection power is still available, and it's available for you and I. Aren't you glad you have resurrection power? What a hope that is. The world is crying out for hope, and we're the ones that have it, because we have Jesus as Lord and Savior. He comes to them, he ministers to them, where the people couldn't, that were around them. All they could do was wail and mourn and just come and be with them. It's wonderful that they came to do that. It's wonderful that they came to be a support for the people in time of need, but they couldn't give them the comfort that only Christians can give. All they could do was just comfort them and say, "It'll get better." No, it won't. You know what? It still hurts, doesn't it? You know your moms and dads. You know your brothers and sisters that have died in Christ. It still hurts, doesn't it? It still bothers you. But he's got a comfort that can bring us through that and bring us into a better place, a better mindset for it. And that's what we all need. We need Jesus in every situation, in life or in death. We need Jesus. Mary and Martha were still weeping. It says in verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He was troubled for them because they didn't understand the wonderfulness of resurrection power, the wonderfulness of hope, the wonder, the marvel of the things that God could do. And he goes on, and you folks know the account that he takes the stone away. Lazarus comes out and he says, "Take off the grave clothes because he's no longer dead. Loose him, let him go." And they come and they rejoice in all of that. And it's interesting that as they go through all of this and they come through that the next place that we see it is in chapter 12. If you go there, and we'll finish up there, that it says that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came again to Bethany. So he's back in that place in Bethany. and he's ministering there again. And it says, Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Isn't it amazing? We have trouble with Mary and Martha beforehand, don't we? Because Martha complains to the Lord because she's the only one working. Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet. And now it says they came and Martha served. It doesn't say anything about Mary serving. And you know what? Martha's okay with it. She complained before, didn't she? But she learned from it. Folks, we can always be in that place where we're learning and growing as long as we keep looking at Jesus as our hope and our strength and our focus. We aren't going to have that. We're going to still be bitter. She's not bitter here. She's not upset. She's not complaining to Jesus anymore. She's okay with it. Why? Because Jesus met her in that complaint and took care of it for her. That's the comfort. That's the strength. That's the wisdom. That's the understanding that we need to have. And it isn't going to come without trial. It's going to come with trial, but there's going to be focus in it where we can get through the trial and then go on beyond the trial. It doesn't mean that he took away Martha from serving. She still served, but she had a different heart in doing it because she met with Jesus and Jesus took her through it. This birth, this wonderful place that Jesus has brought him to has brought life to people, has brought hope to people's hearts because of what Jesus did. In the account of his birth, this is what he came to do, to bring life to people. And if you're sitting here today without much life or without direction, you need to cry out. Don't wait to be invited by the angels to come and meet with Jesus. Invite Jesus into the situation. Don't be in a place where you have no room for him today. Make room for Jesus. What was that TV show, Make Room for Daddy? It's just like, oh, Lord, let's make room for Jesus. We can make room for everything else. Why can't we make room for Jesus? So as we prepare our hearts to take communion, just be in that place this morning of just realizing what this account, what the realization of this account is in Luke, that Jesus came to do all of that. So many people just look at this account and say, oh, it's wonderful, we had a baby, but we don't realize what that baby is going to do or what that baby can do to your life and to my life. He can do so much more than we think if we just ask. So, Father, as we come this morning, we realize, Lord, how short we've fallen in our walk with you, how short we've come to that place of realizing that you have more for us than what we thought. You weren't coming just to be a baby so that we could have a Christmas time and have a Christmas holiday and get off from work and just have a day off from school and to have a day together as family. You came for so much more than that. Lord, may we come to that place of realizing all that you came for and remember that it led to the cross where you took our sins for us, Lord, because we didn't have the price, we didn't have the payment, we didn't have the untainted blood that could be shed to take care of the forgiveness of our sins. Only you did. And we thank you for doing that. So as we sit before you this morning as the piano plays, may we just reflect on the things that you've done. May we realize where we are in our walk today and just make room for you in all those situations, that we wouldn't be those people where the account would be written of that they had no room for Jesus. Lord, may we have room for you as we go through our days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just come before you and just give you thanks, Lord, as we remember all that you've done for us. You came to the cradle and then to the cross. But, Lord, in between you did so much in teaching and showing, giving. We're just so thankful, Lord. May we be students of your word, disciples of your word, Lord, truth seekers of your word, so that we would know the truth of the situations that come about. We know that there is an absolute truth and you're it. So we just look to you this morning. We give you thanks, Lord, as we hold in our hand these elements, just remembering the things that you've done. You told us in the gospel accounts to remember by taking these elements, Lord. And so that's what we do this morning. We don't take them thinking that these things are going to do anything for us, but we take them in remembrance of what you've already done. That you went to the cross. Your body was broken. Your body was pierced, just as the cracker is broken and pierced. We take this cup, remembering your blood that was poured out, realizing, Lord, that without what you have done, we would have no hope of heaven, no way to get to heaven, no opportunity to even come. But because of what you've done, we have every right, every privilege, every understanding that we can come because of what you've done. And so we come in your name because of what you've done, remembering all that you've done and rejoicing in it, Lord, especially at this time of year. It seems like we rejoice a little bit more. And it's good, Lord. There's nothing wrong with it. But, Lord, may we be rejoicing in this all the time, remembering all that you've done for us, that we do have forgiveness of sin because of what you've done. And so we take these now, rejoicing and giving thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.